Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 263, Elijah, A Man Just Like Us, part 2. Pastor Don Kolderman delivered this message on Sunday, June 12th, 2022 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The title of our message today is part 2 of Elijah, A Man Just Like Us. Elijah, A Man Just Like Us. In some of the opening thoughts that have been shared this morning already, Tanya, regarding seeing the glory of God and to bring a revelation, I thought on the words of Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. King James translation. Or in the NIV, we read, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. A vision or a revelation. Also, in challenging times that we are living, we really need God's power operating in our lives. Amen, Aaliyah? Amen. And any of us. But it begins, I believe, perhaps with vision and revelation. And the importance of God's power. And I had shared with you last week also a thought that I would like for you to repeat with me. The only one, and online too, you can say it out loud. The only one who can limit the amount of God's power working in me, for me, and through me. Is me. I believe that to be a truth. And so therefore, let's pray together. And please pray with me. From verses 17 to 19 of Ephesians chapter 1. In a previous study in our cell groups, this was prayed frequently, and I like to pray it anytime I have opportunity to study the word or to share it with others. And that is the prayer of Paul, and we will abbreviate it a bit. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask, Father, that you would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that we may come to know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts and our understanding may be enlightened in order that we may know your incomparably great power for us who believe. For this we believe you, Father, so we thank in advance in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. James chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, we read these words, Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Verse 18, again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. And Elijah, the Bible says, was a man just like us. So I guess that's how you and I pray, right? And please, I'm trying to look out there. Habakkuk chapter 2. Beginning with verse 2, just verses 2 and 3. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets or notebooks or however you do that, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. That herald may be you. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Elijah, a man just like us. And so even as we desire wisdom and revelation from God, and that we may come to know him better. Remember in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, we read these words, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And in Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, we read, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of the law. Elijah, a man just like us. I am reminded also in 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. At the time of Samuel, we read that the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. We're desiring the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Visions or revelation are sometimes used interchangeably. You see, God needed someone to listen, but the priest, Eli, was unfaithful, and God had to speak to and through a boy. His name was Samuel. In chapter 3, verses 19 to 21, we read, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And God still reveals himself to us through his word. And chapter 4, verse 1 records that Samuel's word came to all Israel. Perhaps we could do well for God's word to come to all of Fort Wayne. Amen? Now, why do I share that? The word of the Lord, visions, were rare in those days. Could that possibly occur again? We're studying about Elijah, but I think we need to consider some of these things. And so in Amos chapter 8, verses 11 to 13, we read these prophetic words. I don't believe that they have come to pass yet, but the days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land. Not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. A famine of hearing the words of the Lord. People will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. In that day, the lovely young women and strong young men will faint because of thirst. And remember, we're not talking about a thirst for water. I believe we have many young people nowadays that are fainting because of thirst. You know, and even as we use the word famine, we currently have some empty food shelves in our country. But undoubtedly not the kind of food shortages that many people in other parts of the world are experiencing, or even many people in, like, the Ukraine, for example. If the famine occurs in our country that Amos is writing about, how much word do you have stored up in your heart and mind? Do you have enough for the challenges that we are facing now and in the days ahead? If not, I encourage you, seek food while it may be found. Last week, we took a look at Elijah as the 3.5-year famine progressed, and how, as he obeyed, he was supernaturally provided for. This also resulted in the widow of Zarephath and her family being supernaturally provided for. Please turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings 17. So last time we shared from chapter 17 about how God supernaturally provided for Elijah and this widow. But let's look at some verses beginning with verse 17. And it's kind of interesting to me that Tanya shared what she shared this morning. Because here in verse 17 we read, sometime later the son of the woman, that's this widow of Zarephath, her son of the woman who owned the house, became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" "Give me your son," Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. He took him up to his room that the woman provided. You see, sometimes for a miracle to occur, it's important to have no doubt around. So he carried him to the upper room, laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "O Lord my God, have you brought tragedy also upon this woman I am staying with by causing her son to die?" He was asking a question as he was in prayer. Then he stretched himself out on the boy 3 times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let this boy's life return to him." He had a little different technique than Jesus had with Lazarus. But he stretched himself out on the boy 3 times Verse 22, the Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him. Now remember, James recorded, James in the New Testament, that Elijah was a man just like us. What if you're faced with a situation like this? Us? Would you pray with this kind of expectation? Looking to see the glory of God manifested. You see, it says Elijah was a man just like us. Verse 22, the Lord heard Elijah's cry and the boy's life returned to him and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." Elijah was a man of God. Even as I read this account, we'll jump ahead because our study in our cell groups also deals with Elisha, but I don't with the amount of time I usually receive on a Sunday morning message. You know, we'll never get to Elisha unless I start here. So if you would turn to 2 Kings chapter 4, please. And beginning with, let's start with verse 8. One day Elisha went to Shunem. This was a city. And a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. To me, it's always interesting what the Bible shares. See, now, Elisha had asked for a double portion, right? So God didn't send him to a widow who was just gathering a few sticks for one last meal. Elisha went to a well-to-do woman who was there in Shunem, who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, "I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put it in it a bed and a table, a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us." Dedicating a special place for the man of God, Elisha. One day when Elisha came, he went up to the room and laid down there. He said to his servant Gehazi, "Call the Shunammite." So he called her, and she stood before him. Elisha said to Gehazi, "Tell her, you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can we do for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army?" That sounds even a little more bold than Fryman Square. She replied, "I have a home among my own people." "What can be done for her?" Elisha asked. Gehazi said, "Well, she has no son and her husband is old." Then Elisha said, "Call her." So he called her, and she stood in the doorway. About this time next year, Elisha said, "You will hold a son in your arms. About this time next year, you will hold a son in your arms. Remember, her husband was old. She had undoubtedly been desiring a son for a long time. And now someone has the audacity to say, not only will you have a son, but you will have him next year. You see, Elijah was a man just like us. Just like a bold statement we would make to a person desiring a baby, right? Or is that going over the top with expectation a little too much? Well, you see, if we take Jesus at his words in John 14, verse 12, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father." I guess Elisha had already read John 14, verse 12. Oh, that's right, it wasn't written yet. But he was a man who heard from God. So, "No, my Lord," she objected, "don't mislead your servant, O man of God." Now, I've been in prayer lines 17 times, and they've prayed for me to have a baby. "So don't mislead your servant, O man of God." Was he? Verse 17. "But the woman became pregnant, and the next year, about the same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her." Isn't that extraordinary? Huh? Verse 18 tells us the child grew, and one day he went out to his father who was with the reapers. My head, he said to his father. His father told a servant, "Carry him to his mother." After the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. How devastating would that be? She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. She laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and went out. Observe a little something about this Shunammite woman. Verse 22, she called her husband and said, "Please send me one of the servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return." "Why go to him today?" he asked. "It's not the new moon or the Sabbath." And what's her reply? "It's all right," she said. That doesn't quite sound like a woman in panic mode. "It's all right," she said. She saddled the donkey and said to her servant, "Lead on. Don't slow down for me unless I tell you." So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel is an interesting place. If we have enough time this morning, we will visit Mount Carmel in regard to this account of Elijah. But we're talking about Elisha, okay? When he saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, there's the Shunammite. Run to meet her and ask her, 'Are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right?'" And her reply, oh no, excuse me, I have to check the Bible. "Everything is all right," she said. Just like you ladies would say, right? "Everything is all right." believe that Elisha must have put some word into this Shunammite woman. Verse 27, when she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to push her away, but the man of God said, leave her alone. She is in bitter distress. But the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why. You see, that reminds me of Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord. Remember, I read it before. To the Lord our God. But the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. There are some things that are revealed to us, many things that are revealed to us. There are some things that are not. And at this point, the Lord had not told him why. Verse 28, she asks, did I ask you for a son, my Lord? She said, didn't I tell you, don't raise up my hopes? Elisha said to Gehazi, tuck your cloak into your belt, take my staff in your hand and run. If you meet anyone, do not greet him, and if anyone greets you, do not answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face. Lay my staff on the boy's face. The boy is dead. Why a staff? You remember what Moses did with the staff? On one occasion, he threw it down. It became a snake. And another, he held it over the Red Sea and it parted. Okay? So I just want us to see things that the Bible shares that I think sometimes we just gloss over. Just read on by. Why a staff? Verse 30, but the child's mother said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So he got up and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the boy's face. But that's usually not a good connecting word, is it? But there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went back to meet Elisha and told him, the boy has not awakened. When Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on his couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them. He went in and shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed and lay upon the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands, as he stretched himself out upon him. The boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room and then got on the bed and stretched out on him once more. The boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite, and he did. When she came, he said, take your son. She came in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she took her son and went out. Quite an incredible account. First a miracle, then a death, and then the glory of God as the boy was raised back to life. And why did he stretch himself out upon the boy as described? Remember, he was an attendant of Elijah. What about in the New Testament? Tanya shared about Lazarus. What about Eutychus? Well, let's turn to Acts chapter 20. Yeah, we have to put some New Testament in here, right? Acts chapter 20. And this account often gets me into trouble. I get accused of being a little bit like Paul, but we'll read here. Beginning with verse 7. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. Did you guys bring your lunch today? Or those of you watching online, do you have it on the stove? Okay. Kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. As Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, I'm just checking out there. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. That sermon was really too long. Verse 10. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him. You see, it's possible that the account of John had not been written yet. So what did Paul have to rely on? Maybe Kings? See, do you notice things like this as you study the word? Don't be alarmed, he said. Or the words of don't be afraid. Huh? Don't be alarmed. Don't be afraid. He's alive. Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. They witnessed the power of God. Oh, isn't that what we said? We want to know his incomparably great power for us. Or are those just empty words, or do we really pray and desire that? See, some people can say, yes, I accept Jesus as my Lord. I believe he's alive. And therefore, the word says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, they're saved. But sometimes those are just words. True? But then there are those, as we had the account of the young man in Fryman Square. Now he needs some discipling, huh? So, we see three accounts of the dead raised from men that were just like us. 1 Kings chapter 18. Beginning with verse 16. So Abijah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he said to him, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" See, sometimes we might hear words like that. "Is that you, you troubler?" I have not made trouble for Israel, Elijah replied, but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel and bring the 450 prophets of Baal. Bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. That's a pretty good sized group of prophets. 850 prophets. So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Verse 21, Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. We have a lot of people nowadays riding the fence. That really need to make a decision too. And if God is God, then serve him. Otherwise, if you have something else, serve that. But the two really don't mix well. Oh, wow. The response of the people. Because remember, people came in from all over the country, right? But the people said nothing. The people said nothing. He asked them a question, and they said nothing. Verse 22, then Elijah said to them, I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let them choose one for themselves and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. See, that's how we would boldly put a proposition to another person, right? I don't see many going like this. The people said nothing. Verse 24, then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, the God who answers by fire. He is God. Then all the people said, what you say is good. Boy, anyone's ready for a good competition. Huh? I don't think Fryman Square would hold this many people. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there are so many of you. Call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire. So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning until noon. Oh, Baal, answer us, they shouted. But there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah was a little concerned for them. So at noon, Elijah began to taunt them. Shout louder, he said. Surely he is a god. Perhaps he's in deep thought. Or busy. Or traveling. Yeah, he probably went to Tahiti. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened. So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. They've been at this all day. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Verse 30, then Elijah said to all the people, "Come here to me." They came to him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from David, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be Israel." See, Jacob, God named Israel. Oh, that's right. We had a video from Israel. Okay, Israel. With the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it, large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, "Fill 4 large jars with water." See, now he wasn't going to turn water into wine, but he had another reason. Okay. "Fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood." "Do it again," he said, and they did it again. "Do it a third time," he ordered, and they did it a third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. That's just like you and I would do to prove our case, to pray to God, right? That's what you always do when you're going to have a cookout, right? You put the wood down there and you dig a trench around it and you pour some water on it and you pour some water on it and you pour some water on it and then you and it just not like, huh? Elijah was a man just like us. At the time of the sacrifice, verse 36, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed. He stepped forward and prayed. "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel," of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. You see, they are the guys that God had made a covenant with. A covenant with. And he was reminding God of the covenant that God had made with his people. "Let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." Well, that's not a very long prayer. I think to really get things done, you really need to pray longer. Huh? Need to pray longer. Because if you pray longer, then maybe our God will hear and listen to us. Oh, it's not necessary to pray longer? Oh, that's right, because Elijah was a man just like us, so we can pray short prayers. Okay? I'm trying to share some things. You know, sometimes we get into our mode, right, on how we do things. Have to learn something from Elijah. So answer me, O Lord, verse 37. Answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. And that you are turning their hearts back again. See, Elijah had concern for the people. He wasn't just taunting them with, "If the Lord is God, serve him," or "If Baal is God, serve him." His heart was reaching out to the people that they would turn their hearts back to God again. Then, oh wow, verse 38, "The fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil. It also licked up the water in the trench." Man, that is a fire. It's kind of interesting, some of the things that relate to fire in the Bible. We maybe think of Moses and the burning bush. We maybe think of when fire came down and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. We may think of tongues of fire that appeared on the heads of those who were praying to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So the fire of the Lord fell and burned this all up. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Then Elijah commanded, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let anyone away." They seized them, and Elijah had them brought down to the Kishon Valley and slaughtered there. And if you read the King James translation, it even indicates that Elijah is the one who slaughtered them. Wow. Well, let's look at Deuteronomy 13 just a moment. Deuteronomy 13. And we'll begin with verse 12. "If you hear it said about one of the towns the Lord your God is giving you to live in, that wicked men have arisen among you and have led the people of their town astray, saying, 'Let us go and worship other gods, gods you have not known.'" Does that happen in any of our towns? Verse 14, "Then you must, number one, inquire, number two, probe, and number three, investigate it thoroughly." So you don't just act rashly, but you inquire, you probe, and investigate it thoroughly. "And if it is true, and it has been proved that this detestable thing has been done among you, you must certainly put to the sword all who live in that town. Destroy it completely, both its people and its livestock. Gather all the plunder of the town into the middle of the public square and completely burn the town and all its plunder as a whole burnt offering to the Lord your God. It is to remain a ruin forever, never to be rebuilt. None of those condemned things shall be found in your hands, so that the Lord will turn from his fierce anger. He will show you mercy, have compassion on you, and increase your numbers, as he promised on oath to your forefathers." Remember, he's a covenant-keeping God. "Because you obey the Lord your God, keeping all his commands that I am giving you today and doing what is right in his eyes." I guess when God said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," he probably meant it. He meant it. See, but we have a new covenant with better promises, and you could read about that in Hebrews chapter 8. Going on. "And Elisha said to Ahab, 'Go eat and drink, for there is a sound of a heavy rain.'" There is a sound of a heavy rain. Remember, it hadn't rained for 3.5 years. And Elisha says, "There's a sound of a heavy rain." So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. Undoubtedly in prayer. "Go and look toward the sea," he told his servant, and he went up and looked. "There's nothing there," he said. Seven times Elijah said, go back. Seven times he sent him back to check. The seventh time, verse 44, the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Because remember, it's going to be a heavy rain. Yeah, right. It hasn't rained for 3.5 years. You're telling me there's a heavy rain? Because you see a cloud that looks about as big as a man's hand. Verse 45, meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose. A heavy rain came on, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah. The power, oh, that's what we pray for, right? That we may know his incomparably great power for us who believe. And James said that Elijah's a man just like us. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. That guy was sprinting. Huh? From Mount Carmel to Jezreel? And he's running ahead of the chariot, and I don't think that Ahab is holding them back because there was a heavy rain. Elijah was a man just like us. Well, we won't even finish the story of Elijah this morning. How are we? So let me just share a few things and we'll see where we can go from here. But the account of Elijah being a man just like us. Remember that food was provided supernaturally for him. And not only for him, but for an additional family. The bread and oil was multiplied. See, I believe Jesus read the account of Elijah when he fed the 5,000, huh? If Elijah could do it, I could do it. And if Elijah and Jesus could do it, we could do it. Huh? Man, just like us. Remember Elijah raised the widow of Zarephath's son back to life? Remember he spoke with a bold voice to the people of Israel and to kings. He spoke with a bold voice, no rain and then rain at his word. A bold voice and a servant of God. He removed servants of Satan, huh? Yeah, he slew them. Spoke to kings. See, now perhaps we can't do the Deuteronomy 13 thing. But in our country, to remove wicked, ungodly people, we can, and I believe must, do it through elections. Amen? Sometimes it can be done through recalls. California? Sometimes it can be done in the courts. But if you don't change ungodly leadership to godly leadership, the country will continue to go the direction it's going now, and it's not going in a good direction for the greater part. And then, of course, God has no limitations. Amen? So, he called fire down from heaven. Elijah, a man just like us. And if we looked at 1 Kings 19, we would see that God spoke audibly with Elijah. In 2 Kings 1, you would even be able to see that he called fire down upon a captain and 50 men who came to him, and they were consumed. A captain and 50 men. So the king, Ahaziah, I believe at that time, sent another captain and 50 men. Guess what happened to them? He called down fire on them too, and they were destroyed. Elijah, a man just like us. And then, you know, he did find an attendant to follow after him, whose name was Elisha. And as they were walking along, he parted the Jordan River by striking it with his cloak. See, so sometimes if you see strange things done, I mean, how has that worked for you? To strike a river with your coat and the waters part and you walk across on dry land, huh? And Elijah was a man just like us. And then he went to heaven in a whirlwind. In a whirlwind. And though we won't be able to get into the life of Elisha, I mean, he's got an extraordinary story that extends into 2 Kings all the way to chapter 13. I'd enjoy reading that to you today, but the attendant that God told him to call, Elisha didn't volunteer for the job. He was called by God through Elijah. That's how God calls people today. You see, that's why Ephesians 4 says, and he, Jesus, appointed some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, that's you and me, for edifying or building up the body of Christ until we attain unto the unity of the faith, unto a perfect man, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the stature and fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be as babes tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And so, you see, God desires for us to grow up. Because we are people of God. Just like Elijah. Oh no, that's right. Elijah was just like us. Elijah was just like us. And so Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. You would read that in 2 Kings 2. As they were walking along together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up in a whirlwind in a chariot of fire, drawn by horses of fire. A man just like us. Oh, we're just like. Yeah, Elijah was a man just like us. Do you see why I believe it is so important that we pray that God would give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation that we may come to know him better? That he would open the eyes of our hearts and our understanding that we may be enlightened and come to know his incomparably great power for us who believe. Not just his power, not just his great power, his incomparably great power for us who believe. Yeah. And we didn't even get into Naboth's vineyard today. I mean, but so I guess you'll have to do some studying on your own. you won't give me enough time to share it with you, so you'll have to do it on your own. So let's close in prayer. And for those also who are listening online or will listen to the podcast, may this prayer be ours. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we do praise you for you are good and your mercy endures forever. And you know, Father, that we are living in some very challenging times. But because Elijah was a man just like us, we ask that your Holy Spirit would stir alive within the insides of us that power that you have made available to us by sending Jesus. And Jesus returned to sit at your right hand, and he did as he promised. He sent another comforter, counselor, advocate, paraclete, who would not only be with us, but through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, live inside of us, so that we can be empowered to do the things that we need to do, that we can experience the victories that we desire in our lives instead of defeat. So, Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would stir alive a fire within us to love you more, to serve you more. We thank you, Father, for your love for us, for each one. If there is anyone viewing online that is experiencing any kind of sickness, weakness, disease, or infirmity, we speak healing, health, and wholeness to you today in the name of Jesus. For those of you who are experiencing fear, depression, anxieties of any kind, we come against those things in the name of Jesus and we command them out of your lives. And so receive the words of Jesus, do not be afraid. Fear not. For your word declares to us, Father, that we have not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. So stir that alive within us, Father. We are so thankful. We are so thankful for your ability to use us. Even though we may be as the people recognized Peter and John when they were brought out of prison, that they were unschooled and ordinary men. Yet your word declares in the book of Acts that the people noted that they had been with Jesus. And so, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that even as Jesus prayed in John 17, Father, that they might be one as you and I are one. And so we pray, Father, that we might be one with you and one with each other as Jesus is one with you, so that the world may know that you sent Jesus and that the world may know that Jesus has sent us. Empower each of us. Show us your will for each of our lives. For Paul wrote in the book of Romans to us, he said, I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service or act of worship. And be no longer conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you will know what God's will is, God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. To know his perfect will and operate in his perfect will is a position of greatest peace in our lives. Help us, Father, by your Holy Spirit to attain that place. And because we ask in faith, Father, we thank you in advance. In Jesus. And everyone said, Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.